Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, coming to you live from the Phoenix, Arizona area, where for Phoenix, it's cold. It's 46 degrees right now. It's only going to get up to 63 today. I went for a run this morning. It was 31. I had two jackets on, some gloves, a hat. So, you know, we don't deal with winter too well in Arizona, but it's typically beautiful days. The sun's out, the sky is blue. We're having a great time this time of year. So happy new year. This is the first episode that we're recording in the year 2025. If you've been watching the show or paying attention to the show for quite a while, we've been doing it for almost 5 years. And you may have noticed that we're doing a bit of a rebrand. We're bringing our financial planning firm or our business consulting firm together with Tycoons, because we've had a bunch of feedback actually that everything that we do inside of Backbone Planning translates over to Tycoons and so forth and so on. And so we're kind of incorporating everything together. Hopefully you enjoy the new look, the new feel, everything about it. You may also notice that today it's just me. It's the first time that I've hosted the show by myself. It wasn't something we anticipated, but Landon, my co-host, who's typically here and bringing the good looks to the podcast, is at home today with a newborn baby. So they had a baby on January 3rd, Tia and Landon. Grayson is his name. They are excited. Things are going well. Everybody's happy. Everybody's healthy. But he's in the thick of it still at this point. So they've got family in town that's helping, but I think he's actually doing a little bit of shuttling between the house and the airport and whatever, and just wasn't able to make it today. So you're stuck with just me today. So today's episode is talking about cash flow and why it's crucial for growing businesses. So if this is your first time here, Backbone Planning Partners, like I said, we're a wealth management firm coupled with a business consulting firm. We work with business owners. Most of our clients are businesses that are doing at least $5 million in revenue and have at least 10 employees. Reason I say that is that's when things get to be a little bit more complex and there's some different needs that maybe don't exist below those different thresholds. But a lot of the stuff that we share on this program is applicable to any size business, and hopefully you enjoy the information. So cash flow is king. Right. If you own and operate a business, the reality is cash flow is what keeps that business going. Profit and loss is great and it may look great, but cash flow may not be great. And that can still cause a business to go out of business, even though that business might be profitable per se. So we're just going to talk a little bit about that. Obviously, cash flow affects growth and financial stability for the company as well. So there's some specific challenges faced by businesses that at the 5 million plus level. The reality is if you're operating a smaller business today, you may think that you won't have any cash flow issues when you get above 5 million or when you get to 10 million or whatever the case may be. I'm here to tell you that we have plenty of clients that we work with on a regular basis. One specifically that I can think of right now that does about 13 million in annual revenue, and cash flow is something that they have to watch like a hawk all the time, because the larger the revenue, typically the larger the expenses as well, the larger the payroll is, how often you have payroll, all of that kind of stuff can actually lead to some additional stress from a cash flow standpoint. And it's more complex to operate a business at that size with that number of employees, with that number of revenue than it is with a smaller business. So if you're running a smaller business and you think it's complex now, I hate to burst your bubble, but it can actually become more complex in the future. And that's why it's important to follow different guidelines and so forth, not only from a cash flow standpoint, but from an operational standpoint, growing at the right pace, putting together things that make sense for your business. Another thing that I'll mention that is crucial for cash flow, specifically to these businesses that are operating, I'm going to say really in the 3 to 10 million range. Accounts receivable can kill a business in that size range. And so one of the things that you should be keeping your eye on specifically in your business is accounts receivable aging. So if you don't have a controller or a CFO or somebody internally who's running these reports, or you're not, you know, running them yourself, whether it's in QuickBooks or whatever software that you're using to look at your accounts receivable aging, you need to. That's something that you need to be looking at on an ongoing basis, on a regular basis. I don't know that it has to be daily, but it definitely needs to be at least weekly, where you're looking at your accounts receivable and saying, okay, how long is it taking us to collect this? How much do we have outstanding? And is it changing at all? Is it getting longer? Is it taking us longer to collect things? Are we able to compress that a little bit? What can we do to kind of help those collections? Those are really important things to be looking at and acting on in order to change the cash flow of the business. So I just mentioned actually that client that deals with cash flow. And the reality is I meet with that client once a month and we spend time kind of going over a lot of different things that are going on in their business. But one thing specifically that we spent some time on was that AR aging report and knowing what that is. And we made some changes inside of their business that helped them to kind of put that in place. And it doesn't take a whole lot typically, but it's something that if you're watching it, then you can put a plan in place to say, okay, you know, so-and-so on our team is going to make a phone call. Once an invoice reaches this period of time, they're going to make a phone call to that client and see what's going on and see if we can get it collected and talk about, you know, when we can expect payment, et cetera, et cetera. And then if it gets to another point in time that may be longer than that, then maybe the sales rep or the customer service rep or whoever it is that's assigned to that particular account may reach out and see what you can do to get that collected. But keeping an eye on those accounts receivable makes a huge, huge difference. And in the last probably 12 to 15 months in that particular client scenario that I'm talking about, they've seen a huge difference in that. They've brought their AR aging way down. And what it's done for them is it's allowed them to not have to tap their line of credit for payroll. Seems like a small thing, but the reality is they would tap the line of credit for payroll. Then when cash flow would come in, they'd pay off the line of credit. And then it was time for payroll again, and they'd have to tap the line of credit again. And then they'd pay it off when the cash flow came in. And even though they're paying it off quickly and not incurring a whole bunch in interest, it still would be better if you can just kind of handle your payroll obligations with your own cash flow rather than relying on that line of credit. Okay. So the reality is we're going to talk a little bit about lines of credit here in a minute, and they can be beneficial and you should definitely have them, but you don't want to be overly reliant on it just because you're not running your business as efficiently as you should be. So next up, I want to talk a little bit about proactive forecasting. The reality is most businesses under 10 million, I've been doing this for about 25 years now. Most businesses under 10 million are not forecasting their cash flow. They don't know how to do it. They're not sure what report to run. They're not sure what inputs to use. They don't have enough information in their financials overall to be able to try to forecast. And the reality is that's crucial, right? So a forecast, think of it like looking through the windshield of a car, and your financials are looking through the rearview mirror. So the financials are important. It's important to kind of look at them, understand what has happened, but it's just as important to be able to forecast what's going to happen. So every business is a little bit different. Most businesses have what they would call a busy season. So some companies, that's the summertime. Things are really busy. You're doing outdoors type work. You're construction in an area where weather makes it impossible or difficult to do a lot of the things that you do in the wintertime. So that may be your slow time, but the summertime is your really, really busy time, which is great because you've got more revenue coming in during that period of time, but you've typically also got more expenses going out the door. And then there's some that are fixed costs that are going to be there all year round. And so you've got to be able to forecast what's going to be due at what time, right? When's the renewal for your health insurance? When's the renewal for your liability insurance? When's the renewal for your commercial auto insurance? When are all these big expenses coming up? Let's forecast those and set aside money ahead of time rather than really basically living month to month or paycheck to paycheck, if you will, inside of your business. If you can take the time and get the information put together and really kind of lay out the different things that you're dealing with, right? So here are my fixed costs. Here are my variable costs. The variable costs are higher during our busy season. They're lower during the slow season. And we're trying to smooth out that cash flow. That's literally what we're trying to do, is smooth everything out so that you've got excess in there when it comes time to, you know, pay some bills that are either larger or you're paying bills when there's less revenue coming in. Okay, so I'm not an expert in QuickBooks, in running those reports or doing any of those kinds of things. The best thing that you can do is hire somebody to do that. So it's either in-house or it's somebody that you've outsourced, right? So sometimes you can, depending on the complexity of your business, you can find a bookkeeper who can actually run that for you. Most of the time, the larger your business gets, and definitely the more complex that it gets, you're going to want a true CFO who can do that. Most of the time, a controller is looking backwards, like I said, through the rearview mirror, and a CFO, their job is to look forward and anticipate things that are coming, plan for growth, plan for all those types of things. A lot of businesses under 10 million for sure do not need a full-time CFO. A lot of businesses think that they do, but it's a very large expense. A really high quality CFO is going to be about $250,000 a year. And that's a really large expense for a company when you may not need a full-time CFO. And so there's all kinds of fractional CFO firms that are out there these days where you can get a high quality CFO, but you're only getting them for about 10 hours a week. And so you're cutting that cost by a quarter, for example. So maybe it's $60,000 a year, $5,000 a month that you're paying for a fractional CFO, but you've got a really high quality CFO, but just for the 10 hours a week that you may need that CFO. So definitely something to look into. If you're in that 5 to 10 million range, a fractional CFO is definitely somebody that you should be looking into. So if you have questions or you want to reach out and ask us for recommendations for fractional CFO services, we're happy to make some recommendations. Just put something in the chat or reach out to us if you have any questions. I've already mentioned QuickBooks. That's probably the most well-known accounting software that kind of grows with small businesses or businesses overall. There are plenty of other accounting softwares out there that work, right? Xero works fine as well. There's other softwares like Fathom or Float that you may want to look into. But in terms of user friendliness and the ability to grow, you know, I'm not suggesting that QuickBooks is the only place to be, but it is definitely the most well-known, and I would say that it's the most user-friendly. So make sure that no matter what, you do have good accounting software where you can keep good, solid books, and you have the ability to proactively forecast, like I mentioned. All right, so I've kind of already hit this a little bit, but I want to jump to managing receivables and payables a little bit. So I did kind of mention the importance of looking at the aging reports and knowing what's out there, what's coming down the pike, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a couple of other tips that I'll share with you for shortening accounts receivable cycles. So one thing that you may want to consider is incentivizing early payments. So whether it's a small discount for paying early, something that you may want to consider. So even though you may be cutting your revenue by doing that, by not having to tap a line of credit or not having to use a credit card or not having to do some of the things that small business owners do to kind of manage cash flow, incentivizing early payments can be a great way to look at shortening those accounts receivable cycles. Leveraging automated invoicing systems. So nowadays, there's really not an excuse for not having some sort of automation with your invoicing. And you can set it, obviously, to send a reminder for a certain period of time, or even that discount that I was just talking about can automatically go out there. Hey, if we receive your payment by this date, we'll actually discount it by this amount. And then there's the next follow-up and the next follow-up and the next follow-up. So using an automated invoicing system that automatically sends out those follow-ups to your customers can actually shorten accounts receivable timelines by a large margin. for accounts payable, it's just the opposite, right? So you're actually trying to work with the vendors that you work with to get the best possible terms that you can get from them. So a lot of small businesses early on, you're paying cash for everything. So think of a heating and air contractor, for example, and they just got a job and they're going to install a new AC unit and a new furnace and a new compressor, and they're going to do the whole job from start to finish. Well, a lot of times, most of the time, specifically as a smaller business, you're paying for all of that equipment up front, but you may not be getting the full payment from the customer. And so that's affecting your cash flow. And so it's important to start to build business credit as early as possible and start to work on different terms through the different vendors that you work with, right? So even a net 15 payment schedule for that, most of the time the job's not going to take a full 2 weeks. And so you will have collected payment before you actually have to pay the vendor. So whatever you can do to set up payment arrangements with the different vendors without it causing a problem, obviously those vendors are really important to the business, and you want to make sure that you're being as good as you can with them and making sure that you're paying on time. But if they will work with you to set up a payment schedule of net 15, net 30, net 45, net 60, whatever the case may be, that will be beneficial to you from a cash flow perspective. Okay. All right. So leveraging cash flow or surplus cash effectively. So hopefully, as you start to implement some of these, you're getting to a point where you actually will start to have surplus cash, right? And so there's a couple of different things that you can do with that surplus cash. Obviously, the first thing that I would say as a financial planner is don't just let it sit there in a savings account or a checking account where it's earning nothing. If it's going to be sitting there for a while and this is your buffer, call it your 90-day emergency fund or just, you know, your buffer fund, at least have it somewhere where it's earning a higher interest rate. Not by putting it at risk, right? I'm not suggesting that you invest it in, you know, Bitcoin or anything like that. I'm saying do something to get the best possible cash rates that you can get, because that money's really just sitting there in case of an emergency and to help with cash flow. So that's number one, do something to get the best possible cash rates that you can. But then after that, it's okay, we've got this surplus cash. How do we best deploy that to help the business in the future? So if the plan is to grow the business in some way, it may be that you've got this excess cash flow to make a strategic hire. Right? It could be that fractional CFO that I was talking about. It could be an in-house controller. It could be a dedicated marketing person or a dedicated salesperson, somebody who, as the owner, is going to take hats off of your head and allow you to be freed up to do what you're uniquely qualified to do. Having that excess cash allows you to make those types of hires, right? Or it could be buying a building. It could be buying land. We had a client of ours who actually just went through the process of buying some land that's down the street from their current building because they needed extra space as they continue to grow to be able to park the big trucks that they use. Okay. And so the land went up for sale. And because she had excess cash and she'd built up business credit over the years and followed some of these principles that we're talking about, she was able to deploy some of that cash and then use also leverage through financing to finance that land and be able to have that excess land to park the vehicles that they have. And then from there, there's more than we need. So we're starting to look at different scenarios. Well, what if we built an office building on here and rented it out? Or what if we put some covered parking in and rented it out? There's a lot of different things that you can do. When you have excess cash, it gives you options. And that's the whole point of managing your cash flow. The other comment that I would make is it's important, obviously, to maintain liquidity while pursuing growth. And what I mean by that is don't dip into your emergency fund or your surplus cash that you should have just from operations. And every business is a little bit different. If you've got very reliable cash flow, then you need less of a surplus. But if your cash flow is project work or it's coming in intermittently and you can't count on getting cash flow in on, you've got subscription payments, for example, that are coming in the 1st and the 15th or the 15th and the 31st or whatever the case may be. If you don't have that type of business, then you need more surplus, right? So it's somewhere from, call it 2 weeks of the expenses of the company, all the way to 6 or even 12 months of cash flow, depending on how volatile the cash flow is inside of your business. So don't go into that to pursue growth. So be smart about it. But I'm always a big believer in the more aggressive you are, the better opportunity that you have for actual growth. Just do so smartly and don't ever put your business at risk because of cash flow concerns. Seasonal and industry fluctuations, I mentioned that a little bit at the beginning as well. So each industry is a little bit different. Sometimes there are seasonal patterns that come into play. So think of a landscaping company in Park City, Utah, right? Well, what do they do in the summer months? Obviously, they're doing all kinds of lawn mowing and trimming trees and planting new plants or whatever in the spring and summer. And then the fall, it's leaf removal and all those types of things. In the winter, there might be snow removal. Some landscape companies will add snow removal, right? And that'll kind of even out the cash flow. But some of them aren't going to have any work at all in the winter. And so you just have to prepare for that and understand that some of the expenses don't go away. The owner still wants to get paid during the winter. And any employees who are still working that aren't there seasonally will still want to get paid. Or since I mentioned Park City, Utah, what about the ski resorts that are operating there? They're only open during the winter, right? Or some ski resorts have started to do what? Downhill mountain biking during the summer as an opportunity to extend that period of time where they're making some money along the way as well. So just understand that there are seasonal fluctuations for a lot of different businesses, and planning for it is important. We already talked about building reserves. At least 3 to 6 months of expenses is a smart move for most businesses. Like I said, very reliable subscription-based companies may not need that much cash on hand, but most businesses that are getting paid by project or by whatever sale that they're making, or they're selling apparel or whatever, you need more than that subscription-based business. Let's hit a couple of rapid fire things here. So cash flow tips: evaluate cash flow weekly, not monthly. I mentioned that earlier. It may not need to be daily, but definitely weekly. Do not look at your cash flow just once a month and say, how did we do? You need to know your numbers at least weekly and know what came in, what went out, and how you're looking for a lot of different reasons. So cash flow obviously is one of those, but the sales cycle is another reason to know what your cash flow looks like weekly and not monthly. I mentioned earlier, renegotiating vendor contracts, right? So that's something that you should be looking at annually. Look to get better payment terms from the vendors that you're working with. Each year, look at it and say, does it make sense? Are we spending enough money with this vendor that they should be giving us better payment terms? And then not be afraid to have that conversation and try to get better payment terms from your vendors. Like I mentioned earlier, maintaining a line of credit for emergencies, but avoid over-reliance. So make sure that you have one. Every business should have one, right? Because sometimes things come up, or you decide that you're going to pay an annual premium for something because it gets you a significant discount. You don't quite have the cash flow to cover it, but you've got cash flow coming in. Like, that's a good use of that line of credit. If you just need it for a short period of time and the interest is way less than the discount that you're getting by paying an annual premium on something, then that makes sense, right? So having that line of credit is a really smart thing. It takes the pressure off. Running, operating, owning a business can be very filled with pressure, can be very stressful day to day. And having a line of credit when things come up takes that pressure off, because you know that, okay, you're not going to miss a payroll, or you're not going to miss paying an insurance premium and then have an accident, for example. So it just takes that pressure off. It's a really smart thing to do from a cash flow perspective. All right, so let's kind of recap here. What I would challenge everybody that's listening here to do is schedule a time this week to either review or create a rolling 90-day cash flow forecast. And so it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be the best possible cash flow forecast that you can run because you're a QuickBooks power user, right? But sit down and look at what your 90-day cash flow looks like and get that dialed in so that you kind of know what that looks like. And if you can, try to do it for each of the 90-day periods that are coming up for the next year so that you can look at it and say, oh yeah, that's right. I kind of always forget that in October we have that big payment and I'm never quite ready for it. Okay. And then the second thing that I would recommend is identify one tool or some sort of system that you can implement for tracking or optimizing cash flow in your business. There are lots of them out there. Every business is unique. Some businesses or some industries have specific tracking softwares or specific apps that are used to be able to track collections or track what your technicians are doing or whatever the case may be. All those types of things lead to optimized cash flow. So find something, some sort of tool or system that you can implement to help you track or optimize your cash flow. I would encourage all of you to engage with us on social media. So Backbone Planning Partners or Tycoons of Small Biz, you can find us there. You can always email us admin@backboneplanning.com. Share with us your biggest cash flow wins or your biggest cash flow struggles. We'd love to engage with you on social media and talk to you about those types of things. All right. So I think I've kind of driven this home here, but the importance of mastering cash flow is crucial for any business. And especially if you're trying to scale and grow your business. And I would say really, really important if you're trying to scale at a fast clip. Make sure that you understand what your cash flow looks like and that you've got that mastered. Next episode coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about retirement planning for entrepreneurs, how to build wealth beyond your business. So I've kind of said this many, many times on different podcast episodes that we've done, but most business owners, the entirety or a very, very large percentage of their business, or excuse me, of their personal wealth is tied up in the business. So we're going to talk about building wealth beyond your business, how you do that, why it's important. And then subscribe, listen, leave a review, check us out on all the podcast platforms. We'd love to have you guys subscribe and leave a review. Share an episode with peers in your network that you think would benefit from the episode that either today that we've shared or other episodes that we've shared in the past. So here's what I would say. If you're listening or if you've been in business for a while, chances are you're doing pretty well, right? Give yourself a pat on the back. Understand that it is tough, but you're surviving. If you've survived more than 1 year, you've already broken the mold. You've already survived and done something that most people don't do. So take a chance, take an opportunity to celebrate the wins. Understand that your business is thriving, but cash flow mastery is really what keeps it growing sustainably. If you can master cash flow, you will be in a much better position going forward. Cash flow is king, and cash flow is the number one reason that businesses fail, even after being in business for 10 plus years and having 10 million or more in revenue. It's all about cash flow. Thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We love putting this podcast out. Hopefully you do as well. Again, like, subscribe. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.